Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 9 of They Walk Among Us, a podcast dedicated to UK true crime. This is part 1 of a 2-part story. Listener caution is advised, as this episode contains adult themes and descriptions that some listeners may find distressing. Late March 2016, Northumbria Police appealed to the public as they were growing concerned for two missing people in Tyneside. 25-year-old Anne Corbett and 43-year-old James Prout had been living together at an address on St Stephen's Way in Percy, Maine, a small village located in the northeast of England. James, or Jimmy, as he was more commonly known, had learning disabilities, and it was worrying as he hadn't been seen by his friends or family since early February. Someone concerned for his welfare reported him missing, along with Anne Corbett, on the morning of Friday, March 25th. A physical description was released describing Anne Corbett as a white female, large build, with brown hair. The last time she was seen, Anne was wearing a white and navy blue jacket, black trousers, and UGG boots. Jimmy Prout was described as a white male, around 5'9" tall, slim build, with short brown hair and unkempt facial hair. The father of two was unemployed at the time of his disappearance and wasn't in regular contact with his family. He was the sixth of 8 siblings. His father was absent during his younger years, and as his mother struggled with the children, Jimmy went on to spend time in the care of social services. He'd lived at the property on St Stephen's Way for around 2 years, however police stated that he lived a transient life and was originally from Newcastle's West End. He seldom spoke to his neighbours, keeping himself to himself. St Stephen's Way had more of a police presence on March 25th. Neighbours and the public were told if they saw Anne and Jimmy, or knew where they were, they should call 101, the non-emergency number in the United Kingdom, or contact Crime Stoppers, an independent charity where callers can anonymously provide police with information. A day later on March 26th, supervisor in the Northumbria Police, Peter Bent, issued a statement to the press confirming that 5 people had been arrested in connection with the murder of Jimmy Prout.
Northumbria Police are attempting to identify information with regard to a 43-year-old man called James Prout of 75 St Stephen's Way in Percy, Maine. James hasn't been seen since early February of this year, and as a result of a report that was made to the police, In St Stephen's Way at 8 o'clock on Friday morning, we'd become increasingly concerned for James Prout's welfare and would appeal to anybody who've seen James in the recent past or has any idea where he might be to contact us as soon as possible. The police investigation has identified evidence which tends to suggest that James is dead or has been killed, and as a result of that, a homicide investigation is ongoing and five people are in custody at Middle Engine Lane Police Station.
Of the five people arrested on suspicion of murder, two were male and three were female, aged between 25 to 55. Within a couple of hours of the statement being released, a search party looking for Jimmy Prout confirmed that a body had been discovered around 3:30 p.m. in some scrubland near his home by the entrance to the Tyne Tunnel at East Howden in Wall's End. Supervisor Peter Bent again spoke to the press and said, "We only became aware that James was missing when we received a call on Good Friday, which identified concerns for his welfare. An investigation was immediately launched, and our inquiries established that he had not been seen by friends or family for a number of weeks. Our officers have been speaking to a number of people, and searches have been conducted on St Stephen's Way and in the area surrounding it. As a result of those searches, police have found a body a short distance from his home address. Formal identification is yet to take place, but we are fairly certain that it is James Prout." A forensic team arrived at Jimmy's home, and they also went to another property on the same street. Police confirmed that Anne Corbett, who was described as Jimmy's ex-partner, had been found safe and well. Another former partner of Jimmy's, Mandy Carter, who hadn't seen Jimmy in over a decade, also received a visit from the police. They had been in a relationship between 1992 to 2006 before parting ways. She spoke to the Chronicle online newspaper the following day and said, "Jimmy was a rogue and a troublemaker, but he was always there for anyone that needed him. I met him in town and he was all right at first. He was as daft as a brush, a real joker and a laugh. Then he started getting into bother, but I kept sticking up for him. Then everything just fell apart." By Sunday, March 27th, of the five people arrested, four from Percy Main Village were charged with conspiracy to pervert the course of justice in connection with Jimmy Prout's murder. An unidentified 26-year-old male was bailed pending further investigation. 42-year-old Zahid Zaman, 49-year-old Myra Wood, and 55-year-old Kay Rayworth were charged with conspiracy to pervert the course of justice. 25-year-old Anne Corbett was charged with both murder and conspiracy to pervert the course of justice. Three of the accused appeared before North Tyneside Magistrates Court on Tuesday, March 29th, and were photographed leaving the court handcuffed and wearing grey tracksuits. Zahid Zaman appeared before Teesside Court. Only the year before, Zahid had appeared in the local press after helping reunite a lost dog with its distraught owners. And he had also been photographed with Mayor of Newcastle George Patterson and the Mayor of Gateshead Neil Weatherly at a charity event for the homeless. Zahid even declined a reward for the dog's return, telling the press, "It gives me a sense of purpose. It feels really good to be able to help someone. I'm just glad she got her dog back. I love animals myself, so for me it's a good outcome." In a preliminary hearing, Anne Corbett appeared via video link, addressing Crown Court Judge Simon Bournarton QC at Newcastle Crown Court. She spoke only to confirm her name, and David Crook, acting on behalf of the prosecution, said, "A number of people are charged arising out of the death of James Prout. He was reported missing, having gone out of sight for about a month, and as a result of events of the weekend, his body, in a decomposed state, was discovered. It's a very complex case. A post-mortem has already taken place." The following month, in a further hearing, all four of the defendants appeared via video link, and a trial date was set for November of that year. There were scant details in the local press of what had happened, other than the circumstances of Jimmy Prout's disappearance. over a year after the body of Jimmy Pratt was found, a trial began at Newcastle Crown Court on Wednesday, May 3, 2017. Zahid Zaman, Myra Wood and Kay Raworth's charges had been upgraded from conspiracy to pervert the course of justice, and now they joined Anne Corbett being tried for the more serious charge of murder. All four of the defendants denied causing or allowing the death of a vulnerable adult between November 2015 and March 2016, but all pleaded guilty to perverting the course of justice. Paul Graney QC, acting on behalf of the prosecution, detailed a campaign of violence against a vulnerable man who endured what can only be described as something from a horror film. The prosecution alleged that Jimmy's life had been taken on February 9, 2016, and his body was placed in two sleeping bags and taken to an area of scrubland. It wouldn't be found until 6 weeks later, around 100 metres from where the defendants lived. In his opening statement, Paul Graney QC said, "The prosecution's case is that the four defendants took part in that violence against Jimmy Prout, either inflicting injuries directly or assisting or encouraging the other members of the group to do so. In the end, this conduct was to cause the death of Jimmy Prout. He was assaulted on several occasions, including the days just before his death. Furthermore, these assaults involved the infliction of terrible injuries and were often associated with humiliation." Please note the next part of Paul Graney's statement says what happened to Jimmy Prout and is particularly distressing, so I would skip ahead the next 30 seconds if you want to avoid it. Prosecutor Paul Graney continued, "Awfully, on one occasion Jimmy's scrotum was sliced open and his testicle was removed and he was forced to eat it. On another occasion his teeth were removed with a hammer and chisel, and on yet a further occasion he was forced to submit to intercourse with a dog. The evidence indicates that Jimmy Prout died on February 9, 2016. In the 6 weeks that followed, they took steps to cover up what they had done, asking anyone who would listen where Jimmy was, and therefore pretending that they were looking for him when they knew full well he was dead. They also fleeced Jimmy even in death, taking money from his bank account." The prosecutor went on to say, "How Jimmy Prout was treated belongs in the Dark Ages, not the 21st century. It is quite clear by late 2015 and into early 2016, the group regarded Jimmy Prout as a legitimate target for violence and abuse. The group considered that Jimmy deserved punishment, and the punishment he received was brutal in nature." The court was told that Zahid Zaman, who was also known by Zed, had been severely injured in a traffic accident and required a wheelchair. He lived with Kay Raworth, though they were no longer in a romantic relationship, as Zahid had become intimately involved with Myra Wood. Zahid contacted the police on May 25, 2016, a day before Jimmy's body was found, and he explained that Anne Corbett had attacked him and she had also apparently killed Jimmy Prout. Zahid was highly distressed, stating how worried he was for Jimmy, but the operator struggled to understand him. Kay Raworth was passed the phone and repeated the claims made by Zahid. Kay Raworth claimed Anne Corbett had attacked Zahid with a hammer after he confronted her about Jimmy's death. During the struggle, some pieces of A4 paper fell from Anne Corbett's pocket. It was believed to be a series of confession letters, which appeared to be written in her handwriting. Anne Corbett was initially arrested and charged with Jimmy Prout's murder. However, upon further investigation by detectives, not everything was as it appeared. The prosecutor told the court, "It is important that you should not conclude that any disability experienced by Zahid Zaman would have prevented him from seriously assaulting Jimmy Prout. The evidence runs entirely contrary to such a conclusion. You will hear from witnesses who saw Zaman walking and otherwise demonstrating himself to be physically capable, even to the extent of carrying out assaults. The prosecution's case is that what you will learn about Zahid Zaman provides a compelling basis for believing that he was anything but a passive member of this group. On the contrary, he was its leader and controlling voice, and he was prone to violence. The abuse of Jimmy Prout could not, and indeed did not, occur without his encouragement and participation." After explaining the circumstances in which Jimmy Proud's body was found, Paul Graney QC told the jury that the defendants proclaimed to friends that they were worried about Jimmy, when in fact they had taken his body in a wheelchair to an area of wasteland next to the A187 and placed it in two sleeping bags in an effort to make it look like he had died of hypothermia or natural causes while out sleeping rough on a cold winter's night. During a police interview, Kay Raworth explained that upon instruction from Zahid Zaman, she and Anne Corbett returned to Jimmy's body to retrieve his bank card, withdrawing hundreds of pounds from his account. The torture and eventual murder of Jimmy Proud was said to have been instigated after Zahid Zaman believed that along with Anne Corbett's brother Ivan, Jimmy had played a part in a theft of Zahid's property. A post-mortem of Jimmy Proud's body was carried out by Dr. Nigel Cooper, who was unable to ascertain a cause of death, although could confirm that what was left of the body had seen serious trauma on at least four occasions, and the doctor believed it very likely that Jimmy died as a result of his injuries. During the second day of the trial, the court heard from a number of the defendant's friends and family members. It was revealed that both Kay Raworth and Myra Wood had been partners of Zahid Zaman in the past, and he was extremely controlling in both relationships. The jury heard from a church warden at St. John's in Percy, Maine. Susan Gordon, who had known Kay Raworth since the 1970s, when they were at school and sung in the choir together, explained that in the past they had been like sisters, seeing each other every day. Kay Raworth worked for a care company, and it wasn't until she became involved with Zahid Zaman after the couple had made contact through a dating site that she no longer spoke to a friend. Zahid Zaman's dating profile picture showed an image of him with superimposed gold bullion bars behind him. On one occasion while cleaning her daughter's flat, Susan Gordon told the court she heard a commotion outside. She looked out of the window and saw Kay Raworth being struck by Zahid with a walking stick at a bus stop. Zahid looked as if he was wearing a recording device, so Susan felt unable to take any action, worried the footage would be used against her. She later found out that her friend had converted to the Islamic faith, and Zahid then asserted Kay wasn't allowed to socialise with anyone who wasn't Muslim. This was something Susan Gordon found surprising, as she told the court that previously Kay's Christian faith had been extremely important to her. The witness was asked, "Would you say Zaman appeared to be a controlling person?" She replied, "Yes." When Kay tried to leave Zahid, he told her he had taken 200 paracetamol and would only get his stomach pumped if she would take him back. Unable to leave, Kay stayed with him. Zahid Zaman also claimed to be a gangster and suggested he had to wear a bulletproof vest if he ever travelled to Sheffield, as he was on a rival gang's hit list. Kay Raworth's children, John and Emma, also addressed the court and explained how their mother became distant after getting involved with Zahid Zaman. They felt pushed away and often didn't believe some of the things that Zahid said. Kay Raworth's son even explained that on one occasion he had to move back home briefly and was sent a bill of £2,700 to cover his stay. When questioned by Peter Makepeace QC, acting on behalf of Kay Raworth, John agreed that this was not the sort of thing he would expect from his mother. Myra Wood's daughter Elizabeth also addressed the court and explained that her mother had also become distant after she started a relationship with Zahid Zaman when the pair met through Facebook. Francis Fitzgibbon QC, who was acting on behalf of Myra Wood, asked the defendant's daughter, "As the relationship with Zed developed, did she continue to be caring towards you?" Elizabeth Wood replied, "No, I used to keep in touch with her, not the other way around." She was asked, "Do you know why?" Elizabeth Wood replied, "Because of him, because of Zed, I would not even call it a relationship. He was in control of my mum." The witness also spoke about the time she would visit the property her mother shared with Zahid Zaman, and on occasion, Jimmy Prout was present. Elizabeth Wood told jurors, "When Jimmy was there, I came downstairs to meet him. Zed spoke to Jimmy with no respect, like a skivvy." Kay Raworth's relationship to Anne Corbett was also explained. Anne Corbett had learning difficulties, and she looked up to Kay as a motherly figure. Myra Wood was living with Anne Corbett and Jimmy Prout in a house owned by Kay Raworth. Along with Zahid Zaman, the five were often in each other's company. Zahid was the most controlling of the group and would often manipulate the other members to do his bidding. On the third day of the trial, it was revealed that Zahid Zaman told a relative of Kay Raworth's that he had been in a car accident which had left him unable to walk. He informed them that he was in a coma after sustaining horrific injuries and would often suffer fits. Although he said he couldn't walk, he was often seen getting out of his wheelchair. Zahid Zaman had met Jimmy Prout in 2008 at the Monument Metro Station in Newcastle. After their first meeting, they often saw each other at the People's Kitchen, an organisation that provides support for the homeless and disadvantaged in Newcastle.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The jury would go on to hear from Dawn Statham, who worked as a community housing officer at North Tyneside Council. Zahid Zaman had accused a member of council staff of assaulting him, and so Dawn Statham, who had been working for the council nearly 37 years, undertook an initial interview to investigate the matter. During the meeting, Zahid explained he was unable to talk, so typed his replies into a computer which spoke for him. He had a recording device attached to him during the alleged attack, and so provided the footage to the council. Dawn Statham told Zahid that the council would be completing an internal investigation, but he wouldn't be told the outcome. She later sent him a letter confirming the conversation and put the complaint to the back of her mind. Soon after, Dawn received an email from a solicitor in Newcastle. A copy of the letter that she had allegedly sent to Zahid Zaman was also included. While the header and footer from the letter are identical to the one she had written, the contents were entirely different. I will read the letter that was sent. However, please note it does include some extreme racial slurs. It read as follows. Dear Mr. Zaman, you are a fucking packy bastard, an immigrant benefit cheat claiming to be disabled. We at the council believe that you are the problem. You cause trouble and then claim to be the victim, and you are nothing but scum. We advise you to do the following options. A. Move, as we are not interested in helping you. B. Stop moaning to the police, as they have had enough and have proper crimes to deal with, Or C, except you are a fucking packy bastard and you are not disabled, but an immigrant benefit cheat. Every department and employee at the council agrees with this. Also, we have full support of the MBM. In order to conclude, why don't you kill yourself and save us loads of money since your life is that bad due to the alleged hate crimes? Yours sincerely, Dawn Statham. While Dawn Statham vehemently denied writing the letter, insisting it was fabricated, a police investigation was undertaken and she was interviewed under caution. She told the court that she had done nothing to elicit that sort of response. The prosecutor asked if it was an upsetting experience, and she confirmed it was. Neither Dawn Statham or any employees at the council were prosecuted for the letter. Mark Woolen, a former neighbour of Zahid Zaman, took to the stand. He was initially friendly with Zahid, but the two fell out after Mark Woolen had thrown a torn-up whoopee cushion over his neighbour's fence, which Zahid had left hanging on his neighbour's front door. Zahid's dogs had eaten bits of the cushion and been sick, so Zahid allegedly attacked his neighbour with a sock containing a snooker ball. Mark Woolen later reported the incident to the police, however no action was taken, and Mark received a caution for throwing litter over his neighbour's fence. Another neighbour also addressed the court and said that he had seen Zahid walking around the estate, balancing on a garden wall and carrying furniture. Leslie Scott, who lived opposite Zahid, described an incident where his garden shed had been burnt down in 2011. After the incident, while Leslie Scott would hang out his washing to dry, Zahid Zaman frequently appeared shaking a box of matches. Frustrated, Leslie realised that Zahid was using a hidden camera, which he operated through a handheld device. Leslie Scott tried his best to ignore his neighbour's taunts. The jury also heard from other residents of Percy, Maine, who described Zahid Zaman as a dominant ringleader who told the others in his group what to do. Another trap he liked to set was to accuse locals of being racist, and then he would film them to capture their reactions. The same neighbours also described Jimmy Prout as a quiet but courteous man. He barely spoke in Zahid's presence. A resident of Percy, Maine, who worked in the People's Kitchen, recalled how from October 2015, Jimmy slowly became more withdrawn, and only a few months later, towards Christmas, he noticed Jimmy had cuts, bruises and a black eye. Jimmy was asked how he was and lifted up his top. His body was covered in bruises. Zahid would speak on Jimmy's behalf and explain that Jimmy had been attacked by a group of men armed with baseball bats. The witness said that Jimmy looked really, really frightened and barely spoke, often staring at the floor. On May 8, 2017, the court heard from Helen O'Keefe. The witness, who had known Kay Raworth for around a decade, described that she had often seen Zahid Zaman out of his wheelchair. She told the jury, "I saw him carrying crutches running for the bus. I saw that on a couple of occasions." Lee McGregor, who helped Walking With, a project looking to help asylum seekers and local destitute people by providing food and small grants, also addressed the court and told them the type of person Jimmy Prout was. She said, "Jimmy was a lad who had a heart of gold. He would fly to the moon and back just to help you. He was so kind-hearted that nothing was too good for him to do for you." She also went on to describe how Jimmy helped her. She said, "He even decorated my house and he enjoyed it, and I didn't even ask him to do it, he just did it. I'm glad for this when I sit in my living room knowing Jimmy did that out of the kindness of his heart. It gives me great memories of him." A doctor from North Tyneside General Hospital, Dr. Martin Anfield, took to the witness stand. He explained to the court that he treated Jimmy Prout for his injuries on November 27, 2015. The doctor said, "He was quite obviously injured. He was walking with some discomfort. It was obvious from the facial injuries he had been recently injured in that manner. I asked him what had happened to him, and he replied he had been assaulted by several people. He informed me it had happened the previous week, approximately 9 days before I saw him. He said he had been kicked, punched, and hit with a baseball bat or similar. His main complaint was about his left shoulder. He must have been hit with something hard or fallen from a great height. The doctor said that Jimmy didn't volunteer who caused his injuries. However, Jimmy later told a police officer, PC Martin Eyre, that he was attacked by a group of men, one of which was Ann Corbett's brother. Jimmy also told the officer that the attack occurred 9 days before he decided to come to hospital. PC Eyre explained to the jury that both Zahid Zaman and Ann Corbett were waiting for Jimmy in the hospital waiting area. Although the pair explained that they had also been threatened by Ann's brother, Zahid later told the officer Jimmy had received his injuries falling off his bike. In between the doctor's statements, the jury was shown images of Jimmy's injuries. These included severe abrasions to the back of his neck, bruises to the right side of his face, wounds to his forehead, 2 injuries to his nose, severe bruising under his left eye, scratches to his neck and arms, bruises and lacerations to his legs, extensive bruising and stab wounds to both shoulders, and a triangular stab wound to his scrotum. On the fourth day of the trial, the court heard from a general practitioner in North Shields. Dr. Timothy Pearson said that Jimmy arrived at his appointment with 3 other people on November 30th, 2015. Though the GP couldn't identify the people that were with his patient, he did say that one was in a wheelchair. He said it was a chaotic consultation where Jimmy never spoke, but the GP was informed by those that were with him that Jimmy had been in a fight. He had attended hospital the previous week, but now needed a sick note. Upon examining the patient, the doctor noted bruising and grazing on Jimmy's face and upper body. A few weeks later, Jimmy returned along with the same 3 people who attended the first appointment. A referral was made by the doctor to the Community Learning Disability Team to see if they could help. By January of the following year, Dr. Pearson again examined Jimmy. The same 3 people also attended this third appointment, and this time they told the doctor that Jimmy had pulled out his own teeth with a pair of pliers. The doctor would later tell police, Mr. Prout appeared unkempt and frightened. Another witness took to the stand during the trial into the murder of Jimmy Prout. They said they had seen photos of Jimmy's injuries on Myra Wood's phone. During January 2016, on a bus journey with both Zahid Zaman and Myra Wood, Sharon Turner, who was friends with the 2 defendants, explained that she was shown the images by the pair who were laughing as they viewed them. The witness informed the court that in the photos, Jimmy was black and blue, from his neck to his waist, and when she asked the pair who did this to him, Zahid Zaman replied that he did and that Jimmy deserved it. Zahid's barrister addressed the witness and implied that perhaps she didn't see the pictures and Zahid didn't carry out the attack, but Sharon Taylor replied, well, I'm sorry, you are wrong, because he did. Further residents of Percy Main addressed the jury, including a neighbour that found Jimmy Prout outside her home one morning towards the end of January 2016. She said, I was trying to get him to stand up. He had no top on, no shoes on, a sleeveless jacket, and was bare under that. He had a thick beard, his eyes were sunken, he looked ill. He was covered in bruises all over his body, arms and face. He was thin, he was not with it. He was not normal the way he was talking. It was really frosty. The pavement was white with frost. I didn't just want to leave him. I asked where he lived, and he didn't want me to ring anyone. A further witness would tell the court that he saw Jimmy towards the end of 2015 or the start of 2016. He said, Jimmy nearly fell on top of my railings. He was really weak, as if he was sick. At the time I seen him, the last time, he looked very white and pale and unsteady on his feet. 2 other residents of Percy Main told the court how on the evening of February 9th, 2016, they smelt a fire in the garden of Jimmy's home on St. Stephen's Way, with 1 witness even posting a comment on Facebook confirming the date. Both Zahid Zaman and Kay Raworth were identified in the garden, along with another woman with black hair. February 9th was the day in which prosecutors believed Jimmy Prout died from his injuries. This is the end of episode 9. To hear more from the trial, including testimony from the witnesses, forensic experts and the defendants, please tune in next time. Thank you for listening, and special thanks to our Patreon supporters. For more information, please visit theywalkamonguspodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider subscribing on Apple Podcasts or your favourite podcast provider.
Murder Road Trip is a bi-weekly podcast where I, Haley, travel to the scene of the crimes in my car, the Mobile Beast Lab. I am joined by my regular co-host, Jess, and our podcasting friends as we discuss the cases.
Join us on the road for snacks, mixtapes, games, and more as we make the research journey to crime scenes around the United States and the world.
Make sure to check your backseat,
and we'll see you at the next rest stop.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.